Hello, everybody. Charisse here with a very special announcement. I am thrilled to share that RCAT is now an official AIA continuing education provider. With this remarkable distinction, RCAT has launched RCATemy, a continuing education platform for the busy AEC professional. And here's the really exciting part. You can now earn continuing education credits by doing exactly what you are doing right now. That's right, you can now earn AIA credits by listening to select episodes of Detail. Whether you're working around the house, on your commute, or stuck in a waiting room, just listen, take a brief quiz, and your credit will automatically be recorded with AIA. It's really that simple. Plus, bonus points that much of our content qualifies for that elusive HSW credit. And we all know how valuable those are. What more could you ask for? We aim to please. Find out more at rcat.com/continuing-education or follow the link in our show notes. And thank you for tuning in to the RCAT Detailed podcast. This is an original podcast by RCAT. Try the number one most used website for finding building product information and save time and money. No registration is required with RCAT, so try it today and get ahead on your next project. Visit RCAT.com. That's ARCAT.com. Hi, Charisse here, host of the RCAT Detailed podcast. I recently had the opportunity to join the RCAT team at the AIA Conference on Architecture and Design in Boston. Every year, the AIA and AEC community convenes to network, share knowledge, and discuss today's most pressing issues. On the expo floor, AIA 25 fosters cross-industry collaborations and solutions across the entire spectrum of the AEC industry. I joined RCAT under the Big Red A to speak with several interesting people and companies who are delivering solutions to design a better world. We are bringing those conversations to you here as bonus content. Enjoy. My guest today is Justin James, Marketing Manager at Salisbury Industries. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you for joining me. Why don't we start with, who is Justin James? Tell me a little bit about yourself, your role with the company, maybe a little history. Like, how did you end up in this industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am currently the Marketing Manager at Salisbury Industries. I've been with the company for 5 years, 5 years this month, actually the 15th, June 15th. And my background is in digital marketing. I started off doing, you know, all the SEO, PPC, the paid performance marketing. I met the CFO years ago at a conference and we hit it off and they eventually offered me the job at Salisbury Industries. So my background was mainly in medical. And I really like the company, I really like the culture. They've been around for going on close to 100 years. And there's a really good bond with myself, ownership, and the executive team. So it's been a good ride. I'm learning a lot every day in the industry with the product, the USPS, all of that. So that's a little bit about myself.
So, okay, let's learn a little before we get into the more specific project type of questions. Tell me a little bit about who is Salisbury Industries? What kind of products do they make so that I know what I could be going there to look at? And just give me the 5-minute elevator speech about Salisbury Industries.
Yeah, absolutely. So Salisbury Industries is out of Los Angeles, California. They've been there the whole time. We manufacture. Our corporate office is out of LA. All our manufacturing facilities are out of LA. So everything that we create is made in the United States. So to go back, actually, the company was founded in 1936 by a man named Foster Salisbury, and he manufactured scooters, one of the first motorized scooters in the United States, which is pretty cool. There's actually kind of a little bit of a following of these scooters because manufacturing out of LA and Hollywood being right there, there's a lot of shots of really famous, iconic celebrities like Marilyn Monroe, who used to ride these scooters, and there's fun pictures, and, you know, So there's a lot of rich history behind the brand Salisbury Industries. Fast forward to now, we've evolved into the industry leader of commercial mailboxes and lockers. So we manufacture metal, wood, and plastic lockers, and we also manufacture commercial and residential mailboxes. We are the official manufacturer of the United States Postal Service. So we manufacture to their spec, and we have over 400 employees, and we're continuing to grow, continuing to innovate on our product selection, and continuing to serve our customers to the best of our ability.
So when you say lockers, mean like athletic lockers, staff room lockers, those kinds of lockers, or like storage lockers, or both?
Yeah, so it could be a storage locker, athletic locker. It's metal and wood. So mainly we sell, surprisingly, on the locker side into a lot of employers, like manufacturing warehouses like Tesla. They have a huge warehouse, and all those employees, when they come in and they change out of their streetwear into their uniform, they use lockers. Gyms, wood custom gym lockers that are a little bit more nicer. That's kind of our core market right there.
Okay. So I'm a spec writer by day. Mm-hmm. Podcaster by night, or weekends, or middle of the day, or 3 o'clock in the morning. One of the things that we often don't get to see is how things happen after we write our specs. Like, did we write a good spec? Once that spec got out to the job site and these things are getting installed and things are getting put together, did we put in the right components and accessories and hardware, whatever that needed to be specified in order for that to go very smoothly and efficiently? Can you tell me what are some of the common problems in contract documents that you see that maybe could help me do a better job so that I don't make mistakes in my documents and it doesn't cause problems during construction?
Yeah, absolutely. And just kind of from documents that we see, you know, with projects, and also a lot of feedback that I receive and our team receives when we go out to trade shows like AIA, where we're at right now, is we hear a lot about what spec writers sometimes don't fully know is there's certain product lines that are on RCAT or on our website that are USPS approved, and then there's the product lines that are for private delivery. Mailboxes with having the regulations around them, spec writers really need to be up to par with the current regulations. And we do a really good job of continuing to update our content, continuing to keep that with our product selection that's on RCAT. We're always updating that, and also on our own website, to make sure that when you spec certain mailbox products, making sure that you are abiding with the ADA and the USPS regulations. Because the last thing you would want to do, an architect would want to do, is create this really nice spec, but it be meant to be for USPS delivery, and it's not. So then you have to go back. So always making sure that the product that you're downloading into the spec and you're using is USPS approved, and double checking that, triple checking that, because that can become an issue. That's kind of the biggest one. And there's also competing regulations too with ADA and other ones. So making sure that you're abiding with all those guidelines. And we always say you always want to consult with the post office before you implement this, because they're going to be the one delivering the mail. If it's for private delivery, it's a lot easier because you can put it wherever you want. That individual who owns that building or is overseeing that mail room, they're going to be the one distributing the mail. So that's always really easy.
So how do I know when I even have to check to see if I have to? Or do you have to check every time on any kind of mailbox? Do you need to check to make sure it's Postal Service approved?
We market and say USPS approved to make it really easy, but it does get kind of dicey from there too. Cluster box units, CBUs, that we manufacture the USPS's spec. So they give us the configurations, we make the product. We can't change that on cluster box units. Those stand on a pedestal. You see them very common. Any newly developed housing neighborhood is going to have cluster box units that stand on a pedestal. That's USPS's configuration, and they're going to approve that. You might have to discuss where it's going to be located when you install it. So you do want to always consult with the post office. But then you have the recess mounted units. They're called 4C horizontal recess mounted mailboxes. They get installed into a wall and they're flush. So they're flush with the wall. Usually you see them in mail rooms. that configuration, we can kind of build whatever whatever the project requires and build that out. However, the USPS does require one parcel locker for every 5 mailboxes because of the rise in parcel delivery, e-commerce. Another thing that people don't fully know is USPS will only deliver packages to these mailboxes. You know how there's like the parcel delivery services for like Amazon? USPS will not deliver to that. They're only going to deliver to our mailboxes. They also do have a contract with Amazon where they deliver packages for them. So you have to get this parcel box in order for USPS to deliver to it. And I think people go and buy these different parcel services or package drop boxes, and they come across issues because it's like, well, USPS said they won't deliver to this. Yeah, they're only going to deliver to our parcel lockers. It gets even dicier from there because that's for new construction, CBUs, cluster box units that go on a pedestal, and 4C recess mounted mailboxes mm-hmm. are approved. But for retrofit and replacement, 4B plus verticals and horizontal mailboxes can be used if you're just replacing a unit. And we try to make this as clear as we can on our website, through our content, through talking to customers. But we always go back to consult with the USPS before purchasing this. Because the last thing you want to do is spend a lot of money on these mailboxes and create this drawing and spec it out and then having to go back. So it's always with having those regulations, you should be consulting with the post office always.
I haven't for some time now, but I worked on school work.
Oh, okay.
For 20 years, and then it worked on a lot of high-rise condos and those kinds of mixed-use, multifamily kind of projects mm-hmm. for a while. I've specified my fair share of mailboxes, both interior and exterior. Have you ever had, like, one get all the way installed, and then you find out the post office won't deliver to it?
We've heard of those stories. Yeah, we've heard of those.
I started thinking, you know, because I think about research. I haven't specified a mailbox in a long time, but uh-huh. I think about research I did in the past, and I'm sitting there going, oh, he's saying some stuff that I don't know that I was fully aware of back in the day when I was specifying these mailboxes.
Yeah.
I started thinking, because you don't have to get an inspection by the Postal Service like you do a building official.
No.
So you could conceivably have these things, and that'd be really bad interior, one of those big apartment buildings mm-hmm. with a whole wall of them. Interesting. I'll tell you, if I start specifying mailboxes again, I'm going to be a lot more careful.
Yeah, you do want to show, a lot of our customers show the post office the location of this is where it's going to be delivered, and it's always good to kind of have them take a look at that to make sure, hey, we're okay with having our post, our mailman go and deliver at this location. But it could happen. It's always good to kind of loop them in, because the last thing you want to do is build this new multifamily unit and people can't get their mail because there's an issue with where the mailbox is located or it's not abiding with the guidelines. So it's best practice to always consult with them. And we have a team available on call to kind of help you and consult before you make the purchase or as you're speccing out, and help you with best practices. We have a great customer service team, business development team. We have in-house BIM specialists that can provide all those resources for you and help you and answer your questions and, provide that solution. And it's just a phone call away. It's our website too, but it's probably better to consult with the post office at the end of the day.
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up actually, because a spec writer typically is not involved in a lot of the other things going on with design of the project or those client meetings, or depending on the makeup and how many spec writers they have. But a lot of offices don't even have spec writers now just because there's a shortage on them. So you have a lot of architects writing their own specs. Mm. And we have, because of our generational shift, we have a lot of young architects and young design professionals like doing all the work right now. And the boomers are rapidly leaving.
Yeah.
And these might not be things they inherently know mm-hmm. yet at this stage in their career. So it's great advice. What I often like to say when I'm teaching is, I want you to be dangerous enough to ask the right questions. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for 40 years and I still feel like I know less than I did the day before. But I'm ridiculously dangerous enough to ask the right questions. Mm-hmm. Things will trigger me because of something I heard or something I saw at one point. Because there'll be a lot of things. Somebody that hears this might not have to specify or design a mailbox into their project for 15 years from now.
Yeah.
But they're going to remember this conversation and go, wait, I know there's something I needed to look at closer here.
Absolutely.
So that's really great advice. Mm-hmm. So we'll let the specifiers off the hook for a minute. Let's talk about contractors a little bit. It's all specified. Everything's good. Now the project's underway. We're getting things built. What are the most common issues you see out on the job site that we could prevent if we knew that happened?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of the feedback that we get from contractors and coming out to these trade shows and being able to talk with customers, phone calls that we get, there's this misconception that the installation of a cluster box unit and working with the USPS is difficult, when it's really not that difficult. The USPS is not your enemy. You know, they do want to make mail this as efficient as they possibly can and help the contractors and with getting that installed so people can get their mail. One thing that feedback that we also get is there's a process to getting, so if you buy a cluster box unit or a 4C, the USPS approved mailboxes, it gets installed, everything is good. A lot of times contractors or purchasing managers, they think about mailboxes as the last thing that they need to buy on the project because there's so much that goes on in this. I mean, a mailbox is like, it's a mailbox, but they need it. So we are able to, because we have a lot of these CBUs, they're all inventoried, so we can pull them off the shelf and deliver it within 1 to 2 business days. We can deliver on that quickly, but they also need to be able to get what's called an arrow lock. So the arrow lock is what the USPS installs into the mailbox to deliver the mail. And sometimes that can take a long time. They could be backed up with those locks. So that causes a lot of issues when you start getting residents that are now living within this or businesses, wherever it is, and they can't get their mail. They can't just walk down to the, you know, down to the lobby and get their mail or wherever it might be. They have to now go to the post office and pick it up because that arrow lock was not installed. So being proactive and making sure that that arrow lock getting installed, timing with when the project's completed is crucial. That becomes a big issue. And take note of that if you are a contractor developing a new facility.
Well, that's something I did not know, period. Never heard that before, but that is also something I can address in my specs.
Yeah, you can address
it. To make sure that happens early,
early
and at a particular time in case an or a contractor doesn't think to do it.
Exactly.
Good information. Before we close out this episode, tell me what's new and exciting and interesting at Salisbury that you'd like to kind of celebrate or highlight.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot to celebrate at Salisbury. Mm-hmm. Great things happening within the company, within the manufacturing, the products that we're able to kind of get out in a very timely manner. We recently just brought to market a new wood locker called the Premier Wood Locker. All of our products are kind of integrated with everything that you need within the product. It's in a SKU. Instead of having to work with a company where you have to work hand in hand with them on a certain locker configuration, style, design, everything is within our website where you can simply just go to that SKU, click, add it to your cart and purchase it. You don't have to think too much. It's very simple. And we're able to get these products out very quickly as well. So that's with the capabilities that we have on the manufacturing side, that has allowed us to deliver on these projects within the time frame that the customer needs that. We always get orders where people say, hey, I need a lot of lockers for this new facility that we just put up. Are you able to get this to us by this time? And most of the time we're able to deliver on that. And that's been one of our competitive advantages. And that kind of just speaks to our manufacturing and getting things out. We're also very helpful to the customers to allow this whole process to be easy because We want to make buying mailboxes and buying lockers as easy as possible. That simple is the best solution for us. So we have a customer service team available to answer any questions. And we also make our website available to everybody, anybody who wants to go on there, purchase our products, look for details. We have an architectural resources page that has everything. And, you know, partnering with RCAT, we also continue to keep those that product data up to date and helping people get the best resources that they need when they spec out, when they purchase, and when they install.
Justin, thank you for joining me today. It was a great conversation. I learned some things. I don't have to specify mailboxes right now, but I never know when I will.
Yeah.
I'm sure I have a lot of listeners who do, and I learned some valuable things today that I think will help a lot of people. Thank you for joining me and sharing that.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more, visit rcat.com/podcast to see photos, details, and more related project and product information that we discussed today. While you're there, take a look around rcat.com. For over 30 years, RCAT has been the resource for AEC professionals to find the right products for their project. Try RCAT and see how their tools can save you time and money and help you get ahead on your next project. Visit rcat.com. That's ARCAT.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can support us by subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and sharing this with your friends. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back to share more stories and lessons learned to help you navigate your next project.